last time Wesley Crusher made a joke, he inadvertently changed a century's worth of history. Rios becomes a mariposa, and even gods have favorites, and Picard has always been one of Q's. But we already kind of knew that, right? Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Seventh Rule with Sirach Lofton.
Hello, hello.
My name is Ryan T. Husk, not that anybody asked, and we are doing a review of Picard Season 2, Episode 10, Farewell, written by Christopher Monfette and Akiva Goldsman, directed by Michael Weaver. Monfette in French means my party, and he'll cry if he wants to. And this episode review, as well as the entire season of Picard Reviews, is brought to you by our good friend, Grandpa One, a.k.a. Tim Baum. Thank you, Grandpa One.
Salute.
Entire season, it's been awesome. Sirach, how are you today?
Doing well. We finally wrapped up this season of Picard. And those questions that we had on the last review, which is like all these loose ends, how are they going to tie them all up?
I didn't think they would.
They did, though. They one by one, just like, crossed it off the
like
list.
Like a checklist. I kind of looked to and I was like, it's only going to be a 48. What was it? 48 minutes or 50. It wasn't very long. And I was like, how? And they just went right down to business. They're like, no fluff, just boom, 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 boom. Couple Picard monologues, but that's okay. We like them.
Yeah. I mean, we expected them. We liked them. I mean, that's part of the whole journey too, was kind of that, all that setting up about his mom and this and, you know, all the things that were in his head. So we expected a few of those.
By the way, the reason I mentioned mariposa, I don't know if you've got a lot of Mexican friends, but it is slang. And I was surprised that they used it, but I guess because it's kind of a derogatory term and not
I didn't catch the use of it. So
it means butterfly. And so I understand why they did it, because they kept mentioning the butterfly effect and butterfly wings, you know, right. They kept talking about butterfly because that's like the butterfly effect. Plus, who was a Q said, it's like, you're like a butterfly with your wings, you know, nailed down or pinned down.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they said that their medical group is called the mariposas. You know, there are all these themes, like tapestry was another theme. They kept mentioning tapestry over and over again.
I
get why they did it, but I definitely raised an eyebrow when Guinan said that. I was like, okay.
Oh, that's right. Guinan did say that. When she was recalling the story about Rios, right? When it came in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I heard it, but I didn't hear it. It kind of just, you know,
because there was a lot going on in that scene.
There's a lot going on. I was still processing like the last five scenes in a row, right? There's so many things that happened.
And at that point, I almost missed it too, because that's when you have the realization, at least there was a lot going on in my mind in that scene. You have that realization of, wow, you know, at two or three of the main cast is not going into the third season, presumably. Because you see only four of them there. Rios is staying behind. Corey is becoming a traveler with Wesley. And Agnes, a.k.a. Borg Queen, is maybe going to come back in the third season. It seems like that was a little preview as to what's going to happen in the third season. But right during that moment, the reason I almost missed it was just because I'm coming to that realization of like, whoa, Picard's cast is going to be changing dramatically in the third season.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. It was a lot for me because they brought Elmore back. He was on the Excelsior. Yeah. He says, oh, last thing I remember is this, you know, I'm thinking, okay, so he doesn't remember the whole thing that transpired the last, whatever, so many episodes up until the point where he died, I guess. Right. So,
you know, it'd be funny as if he remembered being an emergency combat program, like the combat program remembered him. If it's like, last thing I remember, I was beating up some Borg. What's going on?
Exactly. That would be great. So yeah, there was a lot of things to process. I for a second, I thought they were going to leave Seven of Nine and Rafi back.
That'd be crazy.
There was a moment when I thought, oh wow, because you know, they had that kiss, I think, and I thought, oh wow, they're just going to be settling back here on planet Earth, and they're good with it. So a lot of things were happening in this episode. Q obviously saying his goodbyes and going through his whole love story, which is sad, actually, that Q doesn't have anybody or anyone that he can relate to in a family kind of way.
Right? Certainly not Cisco. He definitely doesn't relate to Captain Cisco. He didn't mention him as well. He didn't say you're one of them. Yeah. Oh, and that guy that punched me in the mouth. I like him too. He's
say hi to Cisco for me. No,
say hi to that emissary asshole for me.
No, he didn't bring that up. But yeah, that's kind of a sad story that, you know, he's this loner type of person that the only person he really connects with is the person who he has played with essentially all of these years and been kind of a menace to it. The hug moment was kind of a good thing. It seems like Picard should have hugged him a long time ago, and maybe they could have not had so many adventures.
Just hug it out. Just grab Q and be like, shh. Oh, Picard
should have hugged him. Exactly. Enough, Q. I don't want to hear anymore. Yeah. Just yeah. Hug me, damn it.
I will say, though, and I try to hide it well. Everybody at home, I try to hide it well. Let us know in the comments if I succeed. But I'm kind of a curmudgeon, and I don't really care too much about, like, sweet moments. Or I'm like, ugh, boring. But even I was like, and when Q and Picard were going to have their moment, I kind of was going to roll my eye. I was like, oh boy, here, I don't care. But when they actually did, I was like, oh my God, this is so freaking cute. I couldn't get over. I was like, it thawed my cold black heart for like 15 seconds. I was like, keep, and then I was even like, kiss him, give him a, I don't know. And it just, you guys, they were like looking at each other. Oh my God, I almost fell apart there. It was the cutest damn thing I've ever seen, almost.
Yes, I it was like the Kobe Shaq kind of hugging it out type moment, you know. it felt like, oh yes, we want to see you guys resolve your beef, man.
Were you team Kobe or team Shaq, by the way, in their beef? Hey Kobe, how does my ass taste? Remember that one?
No, that, I don't.
You don't remember that? He did like won a championship with Miami. Shaq did a rap when he said, he's like, he kept saying, hey, Kobe, how does my ass? No, I don't mean, I guess he meant kissing his ass. I don't know. That's what I assumed he meant. But now the look you're giving me makes me think I should rethink this, bringing this up.
I didn't hear that. But I do know that I sided with both of them, and they had valid arguments. I think Kobe was right about Shaq kind of not putting in the kind of work because he was a party guy and didn't have the work ethic. Or the, you know, that kind of desire to put in work. He thought he could just rest on the fact that he was naturally gifted. And on the other hand, Shaq was like, you need to loosen up. And he was right. Kobe was a little bit uptight and needed a little bit of that Shaq's personality, kind of young, youthful attitude. So they were both right about
that. Yeah. We shouldn't have brought this up because there's so much more to talk about right now. So we're going to have to talk about that off the air. But I just will say that Kobe being super determined and super strict and not loosening up is what made him Jordan like, because Jordan was like that too. But anyway, we'll talk about that another time. And you know, we will.
But I do want to say that, like, you know, there were a couple of director choices that they made in this episode too, that I liked. I have a soft spot for these zoom shots that go from really far in close.
Yes. You mean from like the one from space that went to, oh my God, I loved that. I put that in my notes.
I love those.
Amazing.
I love those kinds of shots. I know they're kind of cliche or whatever, and they've been done many times before. It's not the first time, but I just love them. I love when you go from far away and come in and you're right into the mix. They can go through a window. Wherever they have to go, but they zoom you right into the action. And I love seeing it, because it gives you a perspective of that there's other things happening in the world, in the universe, and how small this is, but also how big it is, right? And it gives you that butterfly kind of effect of what's happening in this tiny little speck of a corner can affect, you know, this the whole galaxy, the whole quadrant. So I love the perspective that it gives
you. Yeah, you're so right. I didn't even think of it that way. Of it's kind of like analogous, you know, the tiny little speck of a butterfly wing affecting change, you know, in a huge way is analogous to seeing this one little thing happening in this one little spot affecting, you know, what was in effect that in the entire solar system. I think it started at Jupiter and went in. Yeah, that's a really good point. I was just, you know, I'm more simple. I'm just more like, cool, Jupiter. Whoa, Mars. Oh, awesome. Earth. Oh, we're going in. You know,
I love those shots. Yeah, and they actually ended the episode on a similar shot where they just pulled back out again. Mm-hmm. So just as a choice for directing and that shot choice, I wanted to give that a highlight. I liked it a lot.
Great point.
I wanted to also say that Rafi's so amazing to me, Michelle Hurd. I just love watching her.
I know. If Rafi's not in season three, we riot. Sorry, guys. Sorry. Yeah,
she's just too good.
You're going to have riots on your hands.
She's just too good. There was a moment where they said, okay, how much time do we have left for the, you know, if they find the drones or whatnot. And there's about 3 minutes and 45 seconds to before they are activated. But the way she said 3 minutes and 45 seconds, I can't explain it. You just have to feel it, but it's so natural. It's such great acting, in my opinion, because she's so natural and it's so believable for me. Just the small subtleties in her delivery.
Right.
I absolutely love her.
You know what it is for me with her? And I've said one of them before. It's two things. One is that it's almost like she leads with her emotions. It's almost like her emotions precede her face. Mm-hmm. Like she wears them outwardly and she's constantly conveying them. It's part of her energy. You know how some people have this energy of like, don't mess with me. Or some people have this energy of, you know, oh, I hope he doesn't look at me. I'm shy or something like that. And then some people just have this energy where they're just like projecting their emotions outward. And she has that at all times, which is a very interesting thing because as a viewer, that's what we're doing. We're watching the person's actions and reactions and emotions and feelings. So she's constantly giving us something to soak up. And the other thing that she does is kind of along those same lines, there are no wasted lines. Even when she's giving, like you said, 3 minutes and 45 seconds, a piece of exposition, that's all it is. But it's not wasted. She still says it in a way that makes it interesting or adds emotion or adds poignancy. I mean, she's a top-notch pro actor, and I'm really happy that she's had such a long career. And I'm really sorry that it took me this long to even know she existed because she's been around for forever, and I had no idea. And I'm like, who is this lady? And I look at her IMDb, I'm like, oh, she's been around forever. I'm the one that hasn't been paying attention.
Rios too, great actor, and I'm sad to see that he's not going to be like part of the cast going forward. You know, obviously he's chose Teresa, which is what I probably would have done the same thing that he did.
Probably you'd be going to be like, sorry Ryan,
hey guys,
I'm going to the 50s.
See you later.
Good luck with that podcast crap. I'm gonna go hang out with Teresa.
Yeah, he's like, basically, I was kicking in with five hologram versions of myself, and I'm done doing that. And I don't blame him.
No deal.
I don't blame him. So that was the right move. There were so many things. The Brent Spiner, who's able to play this pretty much asshole type character, he's very good at the asshole version of a character. And I want to say I bought him when he was doing that whole my donations don't get me any FaceTime whole routine, and you know, really flexing the privilege, the privilege card.
That was good.
He was great at that in that performance. So you know, I bought it. I thought he was great at just at the arrogance that he kind of looked down on the lady, like, actually, I'll leave you, right? Or something like that, where he had the exit.
Like, you know, I feel like I should leave. You're so offensive. You know what? In fact, yeah. I think I will. And we've seen people do that before, where they're just planning on pretending to be outraged by something to, you know, like whether you're in a fight with a significant other and they're looking for an excuse to be like, oh my God, I can't believe you said that to me. And you're like, wait, what did I, what are you talking about? And that poor lady was like, what? Oh my God, I offended this major donor. And he's like, ha ha, sucker.
So I bought that whole little act right there. I thought he's pretty good at playing this kind of arrogant character, which was excellent. So many things. We finally got to see more of this Renee girl, because she's been talked about a lot, but we didn't get much conversation with her. And we finally got that. I was happy they kind of checked that off the list. Mm-hmm. Even though there were aspects of that I thought were not believable in this story, mainly when Laris / whatever her name is.
Talon.
Yeah. When Talon essentially just puts on a uniform and goes walking up with the rest of them. Like, guys, these astronauts have been training for like 2 years all together. It's like a basketball team. You would notice. was on the Milwaukee Bucks, just walking up on the Bucks. They'd be like, what the hell is this dude?
Like, don't worry, I'm the new starter. They'll be like, no. Yeah, I was on the bench all season. No, I think I would have noticed you if you were on our bench all season
long. But you have Giannis's jersey on.
Yeah. What? He just let me borrow it. He's like, it's a good fit for you. It's a good fit.
I'm one of his brothers. I'm his cousin. What do you mean? He's a big family.
We're Greek. Have a pita.
No, So I thought that was a little unrealistic for me, that she was just blending in with the other, like the other astronauts too would have been like, who the hell is this chick? You know, like she wasn't in training for the last year, 2 years that we were in those simulations and stuff. Yeah. So the blend in was kind of weird for me.
It's a really good twist. I mean, look, the good thing was that Renee noticed the same thing you noticed right away, because she was like, that doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
And they did a really good okey-doke on us when she runs off saying, oh, some crazy lady saying I'm her, you know, whatever. And we're like, oh, that's weird. I thought that it was going to work. That's kind of surprising. And then we find out, oh, it did work. Yes. That was a very good twist. Of course, I was like, well, it's Romulan physiology. Maybe that toxin doesn't work the same on Romulan. No, she's dead. Okay, never mind. Okay. Sorry, Talon. We hardly knew you. You know, see ya.
Yeah, I thought the same thing about the neurotoxin. I was like, well, that wouldn't be made for her body type. But no, you know, the other thing was, I was like, oh, well, Romulans have the ability to shapeshift and essentially shapeshift, right? Because she just changed faces.
Yeah, she had that technology to do that. Yeah.
And I'm thinking, well, if you had that technology, then you guys could have done a whole lot of other things throughout the storyline where you didn't have to, you know, hack into the system, pretend this, pretend that. You could just literally transform into
I wonder if she had that technology that could shapeshift, if she couldn't just like put her mouth on her shoulder and be like, oh, I'm drinking it. There we go. I drank the whole thing. And then he leaves and then she shapeshifts back and she's like, ha, sucker, wipes it off her shoulder. She's like, I tricked you, you dummy.
Exactly.
That's a good tone to have.
Yeah. So it was a convenient technology asserted into the storyline that I didn't think was properly explained, because we hadn't seen it the whole season, and now all of a sudden, boom, somebody has the ability to change their face with it randomly. So I just thought, well, okay, they're not going to explain that too much, but I'll just go with it, because it did kind of fit in with the two Renee's idea and that whole backstory.
Speaking of explanations, so Will Wheaton returns as Wesley Crusher, and it was a very minor, it was just a scene. I thought when he popped in, I thought he was going to have more to do with the story, and he takes Corey with him. So the Traveler is something from the Next Generation. He did go with somebody named the Traveler and he became one of them. So it continues on in the story that we already knew him to be doing. So now Corey is going to be one of the travelers. That was a very quick and easy pitch, but she's like, she's basically a lost soul, right? She's like, she has no family. She doesn't know what's going on in this world. You know, she is looking for guidance, and these guys obviously are trustworthy and whatever. And she's some kind of superhuman. So it seems like it's a good fit. And it also seems like we're going to get Wes and Corey back in season 3, I would think, because if they're going to have everybody back for season 3, you know, all of the Next Generation crew, and we've introduced Wes's character, of course he's going to come back, and Corey should come back. So hopefully we haven't seen the end of them. The only one we've for sure seen the end of is Rios, though, poor guy, but he's happy. He's happy.
Yeah, which is crazy because they don't just leave it in the empty so that they can refer to him later. They literally close out his story by saying, "Then he died in a fight."
An epilogue, yeah.
Yeah, it is. He's smoking a cigar. Like, basically, he's done. You know, we're not talking about him anymore.
And that was nice, though. I like knowing the end of his story. They're like, if we just have Rios disappear, it's kind of sad. But what about if we give a little bit more about his story and say he lived a great life, he did all these amazing things, and we're just taking off on the story? Plus, it's being told by Guinan, the actual Guinan that we know from back in the day. So that was a very classy way to, you know, respect his character and give us the closure that we wanted for a character that we really liked.
Yeah, I thought Guinan was going to pull the cigar out and say, "And anytime I want to see him, I just take a puff of this cigar," and he'll come running in,
like I Dream of Genie, or what? The genie in the lamp guy.
Well, yeah,
that's how cigar, and Rios comes out as a smoke Rios. Hey, you guys need me?
Hey. Well, hologram Rios is still alive, right? So, they could.
You're right. So we can still see him. Yeah, you're right.
If they want to really, really want to bring him back, they could in that form. Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, there was a lot of things going on. I wasn't sure about the travelers thing. I was going to ask you about it when we talk and have this discussion, because I don't know what the travelers are. I thought he was essentially claiming to be a Q type of character,
right? So the traveler, and I have not seen this in a very long time.
The protectors, the watchers, they call themselves these kinds of things.
Yeah, the travel. Yeah, these are all they have. The watchers are different than the traveler. The traveler was played by Eric Menyuk, I think is his name, and I believe he was the runner up or one of the runner ups to play Data. Everybody at home, fact check me on that, but I think that is the case, that he was almost going to play Data. And so, as we know, Tim Russ almost played Geordi. They kept him around. They ended up using him again in Next Generation, in Deep Space Nine, and subsequently, eventually, as Tuvok. Same thing with Eric Menyuk. Menyuk, I think, is his last name. You know, they almost cast him as something, but they keep bringing people back that they really like. You know, they're like, it's not quite a perfect fit, but they want to see him again. So I think that's who it was. That's what the story was. And it was just kind of like a mysterious alien of the week, you know, and at the end of the episode, he takes Wesley with him, basically. And Wesley's like, "Cool, let's go have some fun gallivanting around the universe."
Was that the last time we saw Wesley?
See, I don't remember. I know we saw him at least once more in the wedding scene of the final Next Generation movie. Of Nemesis, I believe it was. He was there. I feel like he was also, we saw him one other time in like an alternate timeline as well.
Okay.
But other than that, I don't know. Other than that, I don't think so. Either just in the movie or in the movie in one other episode. But I don't remember. Everybody at home, let us know, how many times did we see Wesley Crusher after he left with the Traveler? Because I don't really recall. It's been decades.
Quick question also. You know, at some point as I was watching this episode, I was asking myself what Data's character, I keep forgetting these names, Dr. what is his name? I call him Dr. Data, but
Adam Sung, I think. I know you got a Dr. Data and a Dr. Agnes, but I think it's Adam Sung.
Okay, Adam Sung. Yeah, so at some point I was trying to figure out what is he in it for? You know, like what was his motivation? Because at some point, you know, Corey's gone. I couldn't understand what his what was driving him. At first, it was what was driving him was the research into Corey and getting this artificial intelligent life form into existence. But once she kind of rolled out on him and, you know, said peace out, I figured to myself, what would then be his motivation? That was kind of one of the questions I had as I was watching it. It was difficult for me. And then when he pulls out that folder that says Project Khan, kind of alluding to the whole Wrath of Khan.
Adam Sung did that?
Yeah.
Wow, I missed that. That is a really good Easter egg that I missed. You know, that means he's apparently going to start working in that direction with the eugenics and all that kind of stuff. Whoa, that's a very good Easter egg that I missed. And I just opened up Don Crandall's notes and he also didn't mention that. Good eye.
What?
Stop. Yeah. Good eye.
So I'm the only one. So Project Khan, he opens up that file when he goes into his, at the end, he opens that drawer up, pulls out a file, and on the file, it's like Project Khan. And
I'm K-H-A-N?
Like, oh. K-H-A-N.
Okay.
K-A-H-N, I think.
That's K-H-A-N. Yeah. Wow, that's really cool. Good catch.
Yeah, that was there.
Good catch. Since I mentioned Don Crandall, let me just say a couple things. One, he said there's not much trivia in this one. The Gary 7 episode of the original series, Assignment Earth, ended up being similar about an all-important rocket launch, similar visuals and location to today's episode. And he also says, if your viewers aren't familiar with the Travelers as established in The Next Generation, here's a picture. So that's cool. Hooks us up with a picture that we can show. This is Eric Menyuk and Wesley, baby Wesley.
Oh, okay.
They're kind of funny. But I guess, so that's not, the Travelers aren't like a race of people that look like this. They're just a group of anything that does a certain thing, which is different. So that was interesting, but yeah, good grab, good catch. I did not see that. I must've been typing in my notes feverishly when he did that, when he revealed that.
Yeah, I was like, okay, so they're trying to give him the credit for the whole birth of the Khan project on Earth. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, well, he and his, one of his many Sung ancestors, you know, are established in Enterprise as kind of getting that stuff started as well. So it does work in the timeline of he started doing that, then 100 years later or 150 years later or so during the time of Enterprise, they're still developing more and more into that stuff. And then, as you know, 100 years after that, then there's, you know, everything else, Data and all that kind of stuff. So it's this one crazy guy. He's a wild and crazy guy that just keeps creating weird stuff for the Star Trek universe.
Dr. Sung. All right.
It's the same old Sung and dance with that guy.
Yeah. And then we get back to the Q transports us back through his magical snapping fingers. Which work again. I guess he has one last wish or something. So they give him a last snap. And we're right back to the Borg Queen on the station in the action. And this is the Picard that I enjoy seeing the most. The one that's a leader on the bridge in action.
Yeah.
So when they cut to him doing that, I like him kind of, you know, one of the people said, "Where's Rios?" He's like, "Mind your business."
Yeah. He's like, what is it? That reminds me of one of the Next Generation episodes. He said, how did he put it? There was somebody that asked a question. It was probably Worf. He was always cutting Worf down. And he says, Mr. Wolf, will you mind your station? Like, tell us what that episode was, because you know that episode. There was one point where someone objects to something, or somebody says, but Captain, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, Mr. Wolf, will you mind your station? And you're like, oh, yes, sir. Oh, back to work. Sorry. Let me put my cranial ridges back in place.
Yeah, the way he did that, he cut that one officer down so fast. It was hilarious. Like, and it was great. He did what we talked about. Was what they call him a commission? Did he do that? It's called a
field commission. Yeah. Like when Nog went from cadet to ensign. On the Defiant, yeah,
he did a field commission in this episode as well, where he tells Seven of Nine, essentially, you've got the command because we're dealing with the Borg, and you know what the deal is. So I'm entrusting you. So
it would have been nice. I did have one thing, because my nerdy brain is always trying to work these out in my head. I'm like, shouldn't he go over the comm and say, "Attention, all the entire crew. Seven of Nine is now field commission, blah, authorization, Picard, whatever." Because what if she's doing this thing, and then suddenly there's like, oh, there's an explosion. And then Seven of Nine goes, Seven to engineering, revert all power. And they're like, what? No, what? Who are you? What's going on? Like, what, you take over the ship? Let's lock out the bridge, So he's got to let everybody know. But obviously, I understand, for in the interest of writing a clean, neat script, you don't want to go into all those dumb, boring details for nerds like me. But that was one little thing where I'm like, I hope she doesn't need to give instructions to anybody outside the bridge, because they're not going to know.
No. So the nerd like me was thinking something else. I was thinking, when they're near that anomaly wormhole looking type thing that was going to explode, I was thinking that, or I was expecting to see in the graphics of it, an explosion that goes outward in a 360 direction in all directions. But when the explosion was concentrated towards the pact of ships, I was thinking, well, just move the ships out of the way of the direct line of that explosion if it's going to be in a one direction thing, I mean
maybe the explosion was directly aimed at the ships, no matter where they're going to be.
Yeah, that's what I couldn't understand. And so if it was if a star explodes, or there's some kind of major cosmic thing happening, I would expect it to happen in all directions in a expanded 360 type of way, right?
Yeah. And
expect it to be a targeted, unless it's a solar flare or something to that degree. But if it was an explosion, I would expect it to be like in a 360 type of way.
Yeah. And you know what I half expected when that happened? Because of that, I thought that they were going to say it didn't work. I thought that they were going to say, a final twist at the end, which is, okay, we put the Borg and the Federation together and all this, and we put it together, because a lot of times these shows, they'll do that. We put everything together and what? It didn't work. And then you need one final save the day thing, like Riker at the end of season one. And I thought that's when Wesley Crusher was going to pop in with Corey, and they're going to add a new third kind of technology or something, and then it was going to be defeated. But they're like, nope, if you want to see more Wes, you're just going to have to watch season three. Sorry, Ryan. This one's over. No more Wes for you. You got to wait. But that was.
Yeah. And then, I know we're running low on time, but the other thing I wanted to get a couple of things in. One, Picard's purple smoke, when he jumps into the purple smoke with. So just as a matter of branding out there, guys, Picard's purple smoke coming soon to a dispensary near you. And also, the Borg provisional membership into the Federation at the end, I thought was also a significant kind of, alliance, let's say.
Yeah. First off, the Picard purple smoke, patent pending. I'm going to have to be patient. It comes out in 2024, apparently. So okay. Stay okay. tuned for that. 2024. Yeah. We have two more years for that. Okay. And the Borg entering the Federation, thank goodness we have to wait till 2,400 because that sounds, that's not a thing. You keep the Borg in the 25th century. Okay. That's although Dr. Agnes Girardi is a Borg queen, she certainly fits to me better as Dr. Agnes than she does Borg queen. However, the incredible acting of Alison Pill can pretty much pull off anything. So yeah, it was, you know, we knew she was going to end up being the Borg queen. And I was looking forward to seeing how she plays it, you know, because it's not easy. You know, it's a very specific type of character and she has to be very, diverse in her skill set. And of course she pulled it off and of course she did great. It was a little weird, though, to see the good guy Borg saying, "Hey, yeah, I was just trying to be your friend. What's the big deal, everybody? You didn't get it. I was playing your song from Edith Piaf, you know, like." So that was it's a little jarring because I'm like, the Borg are bad guys. And they're like, yeah, but not anymore. Now they're sweeties. So, OK.
Yeah, that was kind of one of the but it's like they're sweeties, but. Because Alison Pill is so good, she doesn't give it away that they're sweeties. She reserves a little bit of, you never know. I might just flip.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's an aspect of that I feel when I watch her performance, right? I feel like, is she 100% committed to being on the good side? Because she looks like she could flip at any moment. But at the same time, they did some kind of evolution of her, I thought, from the Borg that she was in the past to this Borg that she was in this 400 year evolution of herself, essentially. And I like that just subtle makeup change and certain differences that they made to her appearance in the final scenes as the Borg queen.
Yeah. She had some thing on the back of her head too. That's new.
Yeah.
The Borg in the past, they did have stuff back there, but it was like wires and cables and all that stuff. And so they're streamlining the Borg. The Borg have figured out 300 years later that, you know what? If we have all these cables sticking out, it makes us kind of vulnerable to attack. People can just pull them. So let's streamline it a little bit. We need to have our cables going outward into people's stomachs. Right, Seven? She had a cable going through her stomach. She got it.
Yeah. No, they got Wi-Fi now, so they got routers.
Yeah. No more analog.
They don't need all that cable stuff. So yeah, it was pretty good. Mm-hmm. Episode's pretty good, but I'm not really sure where we're going in the third season. So that's the mystery that they've left for me, and I'm actually good with that mystery. Mm-hmm. I'm good with the closure of this season. It's wrapped up. We've closed all the storylines.
Yeah.
And now it's almost, now we get a blank slate for the third season, which I'll be happy to have actually. It's just a lot.
We only have this
like holding your breath for 10 episodes.
I didn't think that. I was like, okay, I don't know how they're going to do it, but yeah, they did it just fine. We got it. We got closure on every storyline. It all made sense. You and I wondered, I remember you were saying, you know, Rios is not going to let, you know, Teresa go. She's coming along. But then we're like, well, no, but she can't because she has her business back there that's too important to her. Not for one second did either of us say, maybe he'll stay behind there. Now that they did that, it's like, oh, yeah, obviously. That's because we knew that they were setting up that kind of partnership. And Rios just forgot all about Agnes after the first season. I guess like the first, he's like, yeah, that was cool. That was fine. But she ain't no Teresa is what he's saying. He's like, you know, that Borg queen. Yeah, it doesn't do it for me. I'd rather have just a nice lady. Nice lady is better.
Yeah, she lost me when she went all Borg on me.
Overall, I was very happy with this episode. A little surprising that they were able to tie everything up, but they did it very quickly and neatly and easily. It all made sense. And I'm glad we don't have to wait, you know, a year on a cliffhanger. We have a little bit of a hint, you know, with the galactic threat thing that the Borg are standing guard on. Which is very nice of them, by the way. Very sweet of them to do that. But otherwise, good closure on a good season. They went and they did a lot of stuff almost entirely in 2024. And
well,
they
closed all here, here's my here's one of my predictions, though. Speaking of, you know, that Borg, that's going to come up again at some point next season. This Borg guarding the gate of this anomaly that they said presents a possible evil threat. So once that was announced, I said, okay, this is a little foreshadowing for something to come. Some evil threat is coming from that source, that wormhole.
Right. And what is that evil threat? You guessed it, Frank Stallone. That was a joke for the late, great Norm MacDonald. He used to do that on Saturday Night Live, like back in the 90s. Some people got that. He would always be like, during Weekend Update, you guessed it, show a picture, Frank Stallone. We'd be like, what is your Frank? Anyway. So we do have to run. We're going to do a very special free-for-all after this, which is going to be a lot of fun, everybody at home. So stick around for that. And until then, we'd like to give a very special thanks to Homer Frizzell in Walter Koenig's former apartment complex in New York City, Dr. Anne-Marie Siegel, Eve England out in Wales, Yvette Blackman, Tom Carmen, a.k.a. Skillet, Timothy Baum, you know, Grandpa One. Thank you very much, Grandpa One. TJ Jackson Bay out in Missouri. Bill Victor Arukin.
Arukin.
Darlena Marie, Titus Muller, John Mann, Dr. Muhammad Noor, Dr. Frank Sobozhensky, Anna Post, sorry, Anna Post, Tierney C. Diekman, Rex A. Wood, Anil O. Palat, Patrick David Lindsley, Joe Balserati, and of course, never forget Dr. Susan V. Gruner. Thank you all very much. Stick around for the free-for-all. We're going to have some more fun, and we'll be right back on The Seventh Rule.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Seventh Rule. We've got a bonus free-for-all for you here. Joining us right now are Melissa Longo and her kitty, Mochi. We also have Dr. Anne-Marie Siegel, no cat.
Hi.
And TJ Jackson Bay. He's got a llama, but not on screen. All right.
Okay.
There we go.
So real quick, we had a bunch of trivioids for this one, so I want to just read those through very quickly. And here they are in alphabetical order. W is in alphabetical order. Wesley Crusher and Q are very different. The last time Wes made a joke, he inadvertently changed a century's worth of history. Talon dies in every timeline, but this is the only one in which she meets Renee. Even gods have favorites, and Picard was always Q's favorite or one of his. And we already kind of knew that. Seven tells Agnes to be brilliant. Q surprises Rafi with Ensign Elnor, and Rios becomes a mariposa. All right. Mariposa.
Mariposa.
Melissa, you have many thoughts on this episode. Would you like to share them?
I wasn't expecting to go first.
You want Anne-Marie to go first? She's dying to.
Sure, sure. Right. Go ahead.
Dying to.
It's just so good. I've watched it 3 times so far. And
wow.
Yeah, I know. It's so wonderful. And first of all, like every time the TNG theme like starts coming on, I'm like, I'm screaming. And then of course, the first time I watched it, like I went, my head exploded when Wesley came on the screen. And it's just so much fun that he pops in and that he watches the Watchers. And yeah, they're just like a million parts. And of course, also I'm like such a fan that he and like Picard and Laris kind of ended things amicably, and there's room for Beverly to come back into his life.
Beverly.
Starting season one of episode one of season 3. I can't even wait. And it's already been confirmed she's in like at least the first 6 episodes. So I'm very, very, they're like my all-time favorite couple, maybe.
How has that been confirmed?
Because she said on her Twitter that she just finished doing the first 6 episodes worth of ADR. Mm-hmm. And maybe more, who's to say? Mm. And then what else? Oh, I also really like that Edith Piaf fight scene. I thought that was super fun.
Yes, we didn't cover that.
And also like at the end, it kind of, it's something clicked after that, and it's just like back to old Picard we all know and love, if anything like a little lighter and happier. And just that's so what my heart needed to see, and I can't even wait for season 3 now.
On the subject of that song, Je ne regrette rien, by Edith Piaf, the reason why that one is such a great song and also a great fit for this is the song is about no regrets, and she's saying, no, I don't regret anything. And that's what the song is. It's like this bittersweet song about, you know, all these losses and all these debts that she's paid, and how she's just basically saying, you know, all the pains and the struggles and the mistakes, it's all swept under the rug, and I don't regret anything, you know, towards the end of her life. And it's this really beautiful song. And when they played it at the beginning of the season, I was like, I don't know if that song really fits. But here at this point, it totally makes sense, because Picard made this decision saying, you know, basically he's had all this guilt and all these regrets, and he's finally saying, you know, I don't regret anything. I wouldn't change anything. In fact, he makes the choice to keep everything the same when he could have hidden that key and not lost his mother and changed everything and whatever. He made the decision and said, you know what? No regrets. I'm going to keep everything the way it was. And it's, ugh, that was beautiful.
It's all love and rose from now on.
Good knowledge. All right.
So beautiful.
How do you pronounce the title, Ryan?
Je ne regrette rien, which means I don't regret anything.
Nice. Say it back, Sarah.
That's my favorite game.
That was my question to you. I was throwing that to you, TJ.
Yeah. TJ?
I have no regrets. There we go.
There you go. Good job.
Perfect. Nailed it.
Got it.
Wow, that universal translator is perfect.
I know.
Okay. Any other thoughts on that, Anne-Marie? I know you've got a million. You watched it 3 times. Was there anything that you noticed the second and third time that you didn't notice the first time that we may have missed?
I mean, I'm going to have to watch it a few more times just to totally fully understand the timeline, because I'm still a little bit confused about how then Time's Arrow fits into everything.
Yes.
That said, I don't care. It's so good. I'm not going to nitpick or anything. And I believe in the writers and that it all works out. Yeah, it's just like such a holiday today, such a magical treat. And then after this, I'm going to go sit in Times Square and look at all of the Picard and Strange New World signage and just bask in the glory
holiday.
Of Star it's Trek.
Cinco de Mayo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is I was going to mention that Mariposa thing again for Cinco de Mayo, because I know our Mexican brothers and sisters, when they heard that, they're like, ¿qué? They're going to be they're called the mariposas, but it works with the theme perfectly.
Oh, and I really want to know if at 10 forward at that exhibit, if that picture actually was hidden somewhere, like when you guys were at the bar and just nobody noticed it.
Good Easter.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you want to know?
Yeah.
I think it was. because that was one of the questions I asked about the bar setup. They said these are the actual photos from the set. So must have been somewhere.
So, and I mean, like when I like enhanced everybody's pictures coming from that exhibit, there were quite a few from like,
first. Have you met Anne Marie, TJ?
Not in
the UK. I don't know, but I feel like there's probably been some stalking action.
Yeah, I had to look at everybody's backgrounds, and I saw like a lot of like mixed in like 21st century Polaroids and stuff, but I didn't. I don't know. I personally didn't. Clock that one.
21st century.
But I also didn't know to be looking for like somebody who might look like
you didn't know to look for Easter eggs.
Well because
Easter egg show.
Because when they all went, it was like after episode one, I think, or for episode one. So yeah.
All right.
She's Melissa. Gonna revisit this pictures.
Melissa, the cat has left your shoulder, so
yeah, my arm is.
We just do whatever cats tell us to do. That's the rule. Just
yeah, she's
if they're
the boss.
On you, don't move.
She is the boss. Yeah. I have to rave about the moments between Picard and Q.
Yeah.
And specifically, John DeLancey's performance is stunning. It was stunning. And I felt for Q in a way that I had never felt before. You know, so it was great. I loved watching that and seeing Whoopi back, and that was awesome because I love Whoopi. She's awesome. Yeah. And yeah. And
did you cry when Picard and Q hugged?
Did I cry? There may have been a drop or two. I didn't go, blah, but it was sweet. It was a touching moment. It was a touching moment. Yeah. And I love Agnes and I love that song. And I want to pronounce Edith properly. Edith Piaf. Edith Piaf. Because I love her music. So, yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anne Marie and TJ, did you guys cry when they hugged?
Oh yeah. And like the whole time. And I was like cry smiling so hard that Whoopi Jean-Luc scene where it just felt like coming home. Oh, I just love this. I love this episode so much, especially Wesley. I just love it all.
I didn't see Laris, and maybe my perception of it was wrong. I didn't see Laris and Picard ending it so much. It wasn't really I know she was leaving, but I got the feeling that he was trying to convince her to that he was ready to move forward in a way that he wasn't before at the time travel. So I didn't
I mean,
see
he's 80. He better,
hurry.
He's like, okay, I'm finally ready to settle down. Like, Lord, this guy's a stereotype.
Yeah. But they left it so vague that, you know, I don't know. I didn't see it as an ending. Mm-hmm. But
yeah,
I felt that way too.
What'd you think of it, TJ?
That I cried when Picard and Q hugged, but I was definitely, definitely touched by the moment because, I mean, how long have we been watching Next Generation and Picard and Q interact? And Picard always feel antagonized. And even over all these years, Q has try to endear himself to Picard and say, you know, hey, you know, not, you know, as bad as you're making me out to be.
Yeah. It's been 35 years.
Yeah. And, and, you know, and just in that moment, you know, Picard's like, you know what? Okay. he finally accepts that. And that, you know, just having been you know, a part of that, such a long journey, and in seeing it in that way was very satisfying. So I'm glad that it worked out that way.
Do you think we're going to see Corey or Rios or Agnes again? Or do you think those characters and actors are done for season three?
I think there's room for Agnes, actually, which I am really happy about. Because yeah. Yay, Agnes! I love her. Yeah, Rios, well, they pretty much said he was dead. So probably not. And who knows what will happen with the travelers.
Traveling Wilburys.
I did literally scream when Will walked onto the screen. I screamed. It was such a good moment, and I'm so glad that they were able to keep that under wraps and then for it to actually be a surprise, especially you know, with the news of the rest of the cast being invited back and like 5 million people asking, Will, what about you, Will? What about you, Will? And he was still able to keep it on the wraps.
And a convention appearance.
Great. Great surprise. So thank you for the surprise element. I'm happy for that. And I'm also happy to see Will on. Like, we're watching Will every week on the Ready Room, but to see him in the show was a completely different feeling and a good one for me. I had let's see what I have on here. I enjoyed the story of you know, Picard kind of releasing himself from the responsibility of his mother's death. It's, I think, a very touching and appropriate story. You know, even if it's not a direct correlation for many people, that I think a lot of people do hold on to responsibility that doesn't actually belong to them. And and it can take a lifetime to learn to release that. Often something we wish we could do sooner. So that's a good lesson for all of us to look at in that story. So I'm like Anne Marie, like I love the episode. I really, really enjoyed this season. I will say I enjoyed it more than season one. Nice. I do have kind of some questions though. Like, I'm not going to call it nitpicks because there's enough, you know, nitpicking going on. So it's a time travel story. So, you know, of course there are going to be some weird, you know, things. I kind of wish they had explained a little bit more of it on screen. I know we got some off screen, you know, explanation, but it would have, even if it's just like, you know, oh, the, you know, this time thing is weird, and it'd be a throwaway line. Like, I'd be happy with that. And two, you know, with the way that the Q story worked out on Voyager with Quinn, I kind of wish they had explained a little bit more about why Q was, quote, moving on.
Yeah, we didn't get didn't get any information on that, did we?
And Kathy is owed a goodbye visit too.
Yeah, she is. And he could have been like, no, I tried to do the same thing for Sisko and he punched me. So, you know, I'm here for you, Picard.
He should have brought back Vosh too and been like, oh, you know, we've had some fun together. See
oh
you around.
Oh my gosh.
I really enjoy seeing Jurati as the full-on Borg queen. That was pretty neat. I think she wore the makeup well. She acted it well. It's a good thing. And to kind of see her retain, you know, her personality through the queen too. It especially was apparent when she called Picard Mister. Because no one says that like her. I hope she's in next season just so I can hear her say Mister more.
And I also thought it was also cool because in the beginning of season two, she called Picard instead of Lacutus. That was like also an interesting
Yeah, there was some pretty neat scenes. I mean, everybody, I think, caught on to the look up line that was there. And I think it was a nice journey to kind of learn what that meant and then, you know, see it again at the end. I thought Rios got a nice story. I'm glad that that they didn't just leave that hanging, that they kind of told, you know, what happened to him, you know, since it was 400 years ago for them.
If this was maybe we're running real, to them. Like, I would go around out and buy some cigar stocks.
That's an interesting thought real quick about Rios, was that it wasn't just that they were giving us information on him or they were looking him up. It was cool that Guinan was recounting his life from actually having experienced with him, from firsthand knowledge of what he was actually like. She knew him. They hung out all the time. He came to her bar, and that was a really nice touch. It's better than looking him up and saying, oh, what happened? Oh, it says here that he died at this age.
Yeah, I may have shed a tear or two when the picture popped up on the screen. Because I love Rios. He's awesome.
And when they said awesome. Auntie Renee, which was so cute. Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Ciroc, any tears shed for you?
No. I mean, there was some special moments between Picard and Q I thought were great. One of them where, you know, Q says, I don't want you to die alone like me. Mm. You know, I thought that was kind of like poignant because that's something that people experience dying alone, actually, and because they don't have family and they don't have friends. And so I thought that was an interesting point. Also, the point of being shackled to the past and Q saying, you know, you are now unshackled from the past. So I think that's a very real thing that people go through having trauma and being kind of mentally tied to that trauma, trying to find ways to release it. So I think that's a real thing for people that are experiencing that kind of thing. So I'm glad they dealt with it. The even gods have favorites lines. I was trying to think about that, but it's, you know, it was funny. I thought it was just clever. It just showed that Q has, you know, which we knew he has some kind of infatuation with Picard. It's kind totally. Of it's pretty obvious.
And himself.
Yeah. Right. So that and they both kind of play off of that. So the moment was good. I thought the hug was great. It would have been cool if Q did something funny in that moment, maybe try to give him a wedgie or something. But, you know, he didn't.
Hey, I got your nose. Hey,
get the glasses. I wanted to know if you guys took notice of the file that Dr. Soong pulled out that said Project Khan on it.
You know I screenshotted that with my phone.
Yes.
Okay.
See, so I want to bring that up. I missed what? It.
Okay. No, you didn't.
I did.
Look, Ryan,
I
was too busy taking from your notes.
I know. I'm taking a million notes, and sometimes I miss these things, and everybody else is like, you missed like the biggest, most
1997 Project Khan.
Dr. Yeah. Khan.
Which everybody knows in Enterprise, the eugenics wars, like, aren't they in the 90s? Or isn't that set in TOS or something?
Enterprise, I believe.
Mm. I can't remember. Yeah.
And then my last takeaway.
Actually.
Was it?
Yeah, I think so. That's
TJ,
why they chose
TJ would know. He's our
I thought so. That's TOS why they chose
pro,
the 90s.
Pro here. Do you remember what episode it was?
I forget the name of it. The one with Khan in it?
Space Seed.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. I guess that would make sense.
I'm not there yet on my rewatch.
Yeah, duh. Anyway, sorry. What were you saying, Ciroc?
No, my final take, I did have a nitpick, and that was when Rafi had that bloody lip and then they had the kiss scene. I'm like, you gotta wipe your lip down before we do the kiss scene. It's like, the first kiss can't be out with the bloody lip. It's just not.
And it's true love.
It's like that song.
Blood.
It's like that song. Taste maybe of her bloody lips.
Different if you just face death together. Maybe the blood doesn't matter.
I guess I just wanted Seven to change her shirt. Because I don't know. It's like a big That's a big pet peeve, at least in the hospital, where everyone's always like, if you have blood, you need to change that like immediately, because it's like, not cool to be walking around with that.
See, they're blood like, sisters.
Use the bloody replicator shirt, before blood. You turn it off.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was it. Raffian 7 sitting in a tree.
Yeah.
That was
really I short. Kissed a girl and I liked it. Taste of her bloody lipstick.
Okay, and my other like favorite thing was knowing that Jake Sisko was watching Wesley on TV today.
I did.
Yeah.
You know, I think I don't know if it was mentioned before, if you guys talked about it earlier, but I think it's neat that they tied the travelers to the watchers and the supervisors.
They watch the back. Watchers.
The supervisors. Yeah. Mm.
Who watches the watchers? Now we know.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
But there's an episode of TNG called Who Watches the Watchers?
Who Watches the Watchers? Yeah, the men talking.
It's a fun one.
Which has nothing to do with this, but it's a funny title.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
But their exit brought me a question. When Will Wheaton and Corey energized out of the shot, it made me think of, are they getting beamed onto a ship? Were they transporting? Or do the Watchers have kind of godlike powers to just disappear?
Probably. What is
another dimension of all-knowing other world?
God, right? There's so like many aliens the
thing
that
is,
are like
the
that
thing
now.
Is, we just never know. They have a really deep understanding of the universe.
Yeah. Here's the deal. They like making new series off of things. Like, we got like how many series running right now?
This was the 11th that started today.
Yeah. If you remember, Assignment Earth on TOS was supposed to be a backdoor pilot. So they already talked about Strange New Worlds being the longest pickup from the cage of a pilot.
Yeah.
So let's do it again. Let's have like that
57 year
let's
gap.
Have that Watcher show with like maybe Wesley is like the admiral type behind the scenes guy that sends Corey out on these missions. I'd love to watch that.
I want to see him as middle management, where he's like kind of embittered and he's like drinks too much coffee, you know?
So she's a watcher now, right?
Or a traveler.
Or a traveler. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which, interestingly, if you checked on the season 2 soundtrack that came out a few days ago for Picard, there was actually a track for the last episode called The Travelers, which was a kind of a bit of a spoiler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good knowledge. Next season.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just, I saw my notes here. I forgot to mention that the travelers also stay when they go anywhere at the Traveler Lodge.
Okay.
Oh my God. Nice. I'm going to start staying at Traveler Lodge now.
Yeah, that's where. That's what all I got.
Move the away missions to there.
Yeah.
I was going to say to anybody, if you haven't gone back and watched the episode Assignment Earth, I'd encourage you to do so to kind of see the tie-ins to the story. It's also a great episode on its own. I watched it again, I think, last week. And I've seen it before, of course, multiple times, but I was surprised at how well it stood the test of time. So if you're one of those people that don't watch TOS because it's aged, then watch this episode. It stands the test of time.
That used to be me until last week, but I saw Strange New Worlds, and now I can't stop watching TOS.
Yeah.
So good.
I can't and enjoying start it thoroughly. Watching TOS, but, you know.
I bet you that changes. It's so good.
It's good. I love it.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think it's time to close the book on Picard season 2. We've had a lot of fun. Sirach and I have made a lot of bad jokes. Yeah. Sirach's made some good ones, though.
Not more than
I have not. And we've had a lot of good fun. So, everybody, thank you so much for joining us for season 2. We're looking forward to season 3. The premiere date is officially set for July 14th, everybody. Mm-hmm. July, I have no idea, but that is Bastille Day. It's a French holiday.
Day. Yeah,
wait, 2022?
No, I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be.
He's but they've already rumors. Shot
it. They've already shot it, right? So maybe this year. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I just got teed up by the number one Memphis Grizzlies fan here. All right. Thanks very much, TJ, Anne-Marie, Melissa, for joining us. For Sirach Lofton and myself, for Aaron Eisenberg and Russ Haslidge, thank you all so much for joining us. We will see you next time. What's next? They're like, what do you mean next time? Well, next time is Strange New Worlds. It's going to come up right after, like directly right hate after it. This. So check that out. And did we like it? Did we hate it? Well, no spoilers here. You're going to have to find out. See you next time. Thanks all very much. Always remember the seventh rule.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.